In case those of you who weren't here last week, I told you that I would be bringing a series of messages on slaying giants, on defeating giants. And we talked about that last week, about how David defeated a giant in his life. And I said, I passed out index cards and I said, hey, everybody has giants. List yours. I wouldn't share them specifically, but list yours and we will come up with a list. And Sissy and I took them home. 48 things was listed in this church with multiple repeats in addition to that. 48 giants, Pastor Ed. How many know that's significant? And what that really means to us is not only do we have 48 obstacles in our life, but we have 48 reasons why we can't grow. Inside, internally, because the giants are what? Prohibiting you. And so what I did was I compiled these 48, and I tried to put them where I could be non-specific while being specific without saying what they are. How many understand that challenge? I don't want to say, for example, by the way, when I make this up, it's not a real one. Don't go home and say, I wonder who that is. I'm making what, Nick? I'm making it up, right? How many understand? It's not real. It's not real. I might have had a list. I have a problem with my next door neighbor, Joe. Well, I'm not going to say that. Because somebody might know who lives next door to Joe, right? So I'm not going to be specific, but I'm going to be in generalities. I brought a message here last week about how important it is to slay giants. And I know that you have them. I knew that you had them. But I wanted to make sure that you told me that you knew you had them. And so today, we're going to defeat some giants. That's what we're going to do. And the first giant that I'm going to talk about today on how we're going to defeat it is hopelessness. That's one of them. Where the burdens of the world are just crashing down on me. How many have that experience sometimes? The burdens of the world, those known and those new, are just crashing down on me. And when I was reading through these cards, Sissy and I, we were praying about it. This topic kept coming up. Because of the giants in my life, I feel what? Hopeless. I feel hopeless. And we need to understand that feeling hopeless is a big deal. Because if you feel hopeless, do you want to defeat the giants? No. They've already what? Defeated you. And so today we're going to talk about this whole concept of hopelessness. And so I need you to turn in your Bibles. And we are going to turn to Matthew 17, 24 to 27.
After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that they may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours."
Let's open this up. The issue has come up, but it's time to pay the taxes. How many of you have to pay taxes sometime? Joy to the world. How many know this song? I owe, so off to work I go. And so the issue of taxes has come up. The issue of taxes. And it clearly says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and he asked, "Doesn't your teacher have to pay the taxes?" That's the question, right? Now here's the issue I want to show you. Peter says, yes, he does. When Peter came into the house, an interesting thing has just happened. And I want you to understand and grasp a hold of what just happened. See, you read that story, but you're not listening and gleaning all that's important. And you need to glean what's important. It says, when Peter came into the house, Jesus what? Was the first to speak. Wasn't he?
Yes.
Jesus was the first to speak. And he said, What do you think, Simon? From whom the kings of earth collect? So he's talking to Peter about what? The taxes before Peter told him. How many see that? Jesus was the first to speak about what Peter wanted to talk about. What does that mean to you? He already knows. He knows. You see, when you go to prayer, you're not letting Jesus know your problems. Isn't that significant? You probably never thought about that. You're not going to Jesus and let him know about your problems. He already what? Knows. You're asking for his power and his help in solving them. Is it not true that God is all-knowing? Or does anybody want to say he doesn't know these things though? He's either all-knowing or what? He's not. If there's one thing he doesn't know, then he's what? Not all-knowing. Jesus says to Peter, before Peter says what he wants, Jesus is already addressing it. How many people on the list that they gave to me, I saw a whole thing about God doesn't know. He knows. Scripture says you do not receive. Why? I do not know. Is that what he says? You do not receive because I do not know. No. You do not receive because why? You don't ask. How many understand the significance of that? He knows. You just don't what?
Ask.
The issue has come up about taxes. So Jesus is clearly saying we are going to what?
Pay
the taxes. We're going to pay the taxes so we don't cause what?
Offense.
So he's going to pay it. But where's the money going to come from? They got to pay it. They got to pay it. Jesus clearly says we're going to have to pay it, but they don't have it. Where's it going to come from? How many ever been in that situation before? It's due. You know you got to pay it, but guess what? You don't got it. And Jesus is instructing Peter, saying to Peter, we don't have it, but I'm going to tell you what?
Where to find it.
I'm going to show you where to get it. How many's ever had a gift coming in the mail that you didn't expect? Coincidentally, I suppose, huh? Just so happened that that's the way that it was. I want to tell you something that's kind of fascinating to me. You know, it's one part of hearing about miracles, it's another part of being part of one. Help me understand that. My daughter, Desiree, has a little business going on for herself, and she makes headbands and stuff. You guys seen some of those things? She makes a little headband stuff, really nice, little bow tie kinds of stuff. And I got a phone call on Friday on my way to a wedding rehearsal. She was very upset because she has these orders on the internet, and some orders came in, but she didn't have the money to make that. How many understand that? She didn't have the resources to get the material to make the things that they said they wanted. And she was really, really, really sad. She was really distraught. She has them two little kids, and she was really, really sad, really sad. And so she called me, and she said, can you stop by and see Desiree? So I did, and Desiree explained to me what the situation was. And I said, okay, Desiree, let me think. I'm going to process this. I'm on the way to the wedding rehearsal. So I picked up Sissy, and I said to Sissy, we have to help her out. We have to help her out. Now, Sissy's truck needs brakes on. I'm kind of rambling. Sissy's truck needs brakes on, and I had saved up money. Well, I had to save up some money to get some brake parts. And I was saying to Scott, I need some more parts. Well, now I need calipers. How many's been in that situation when you start to now needs, no, don't need that anymore, now it needs this. Oh, don't need that anymore, now it needs this, right? And so I needed two calipers for Sissy's truck. $75 a piece, $150. You kind of got this? So I knew that I was doing this wedding on Saturday. Everybody kind of get this? The groom had called me on the phone and asked me, what is the honorarium for pastors? That's always an awkward position when somebody says, well, how much do you get? Right? You're kind of weird out about that, right? You know what I mean? It's just weird to be in that position. But I said to this person, I said, well, you understand it's not just the wedding. Pastors just don't do weddings. We do what? Three sessions of counseling. And we do the rehearsal. and we do the wedding. Help me understand that. That's not just show up for an hour. It's. So I said to this individual, usually it's $150. Kind of get the idea? So I was thinking, well, that will pay for what? Sissy's breaks. So I called Desiree on the phone on the way to the wedding rehearsal, and I said, I want to make a little investment in your company. She says, you do? And she said, yes. And she watches Shark Tank, so she says, well, how much is the steak going to be? I said, what? Really? Really? I said, first of all, Desiree, this is not the Shark Tank with your daddy. This is the Guppy Tank. It's the Guppy Tank. I want to make a little investment in your company. I want to give you $100. But you got that? I'm going to give you $100. I want to give you $100 to make sure you go get the material that you want. Kind of get the idea? Cool. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to take that $100 from the $150 from the wedding if I get it. Kind of get the idea? I get to the wedding on Friday. I do the rehearsal. They hand me an envelope. I look inside. I went, $250. $100 more. $100 more that I could give to what? Desiree, at the same time, cover my breaks. You cannot, and you never will, outgive a holy God. You just can't do it. It's impossible to do it. Help me understand that. God gives you what you need when you need it. And more. And we prayed about that on the way down to help Desiree's little business, and I prayed, Lord, provide a way. I never expected that. That's not what I told him. How many of you ever had that happen in your life? What is that? What is that? That's telling you, be faithful. Be faithful with the little things. And God will give you what? The big things. I want you to remember Matthew 17, 24 to 27. Not that you will, but we're going to turn back to that in a second. I want you to go to Matthew 6, 8.
Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
That's scriptural. Your Father knows what you need before what? You ask Him. But we do not receive because why? We don't ask Him. It's pretty clear, right? And so we get in our hopeless position. We got these monster giants in our life. Monster giants. 48 of them. In this small church. And we look at the size of those giants. And we look how big it is in our life. And we say, there's no way I can defeat that. It's too big. Did David feel hopeless when he faced Goliath? They don't get much bigger than Goliath, do they? I don't think there's anybody in WWF bigger than Goliath either. That's a big dude. And David wasn't hopeless in the situation to conquer that giant. And the reason why he could conquer that giant is in fact because he was not what? Hopeless. He wasn't hopeless. You see, all of the Israelites on one side of the battlefield were hopeless, weren't they? What did they do with the giant? They ran away. They cowered in fear because of their hopeless situation. And David says, you know what? I'm not going to be like them. My Father knows what I need before I even ask Him. David, Joshua, and others, they had a fascinating way of celebrating the victory. They would love to dance. They were dancers. They loved to dance. They party hardy. They have a celebration. Anybody know that? Man, they celebrated. They celebrated the victory. But you know what the irony was about that, Bob? They celebrated the victory before they fought the fight. Let's say that one more time. You see, they celebrated the victory before they even fought the fight. They celebrated for what Jesus was going to do. For what He was going to do. How many know that God's going to work a victory in your life too? How many know that? I mean, do you know that? Do you know that you're going to be victorious even before you fight the fight? Do you have that kind of attitude? Do you have that kind of desire in your heart that I can't wait to go into battle? I can't lose. There's no way I'm going to. How can I lose? There's no way I'm going to lose. It's not possible. For greater it is in me than what? It is in the world. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
You know, when you have giants in your life, you lean on your own devices. You try to figure out a way you're going to do it. How many understand that's the truth? You go within yourself and you try to say, now how am I going to do this? Well, you're not doing a very good job of it because you still got it. Now that's logic 101, right? I mean, if you still have the giants, guess what, yo? You're not handling it. When we lean into our own devices and we try to figure out, how am I going to do this? You're not doing a good job of it because I got 48 proof positive that's not working. You have to get some other kind of help. And clearly he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So how many of us can absolutely try to conjure up why God does what he does? You know how many times I have to answer the question, why? Really? You're asking me why God does what God does? I can't figure out how to get the spring off my brake caliper. I don't know why God does what God does. Only God knows why God does what God does. How many understand that? Because God is God, right? And he says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are what? Not your ways. It's an amazing thing sometimes when people cry out to the Lord in a hopeless situation. They say, Lord, Lord, I need your help. Now what are we going to do? Let me show you how to do it, Lord. Really? You know how many people I counsel who don't want counseled?
Probably all of them.
I'm serious. How many people do you think I counsel that don't want counseled? Initially, Jimmy, it's probably all of them. People don't want counseled, they want affirmed, right? They want to come in and meet with me at Mick Counseling, where I do my Mick Counseling stuff. And they want to be able to tell me what their problem is, and then they want me to say to them, oh, you're right. You're right. People don't want counseled. They want affirmed. And God says, nor are my ways your ways. How you would do something does not mean that's how God would do the same thing, is it? No. So you have to trust that God's thoughts are not only higher than your thoughts, but better than your thoughts. And you have to understand that God's ways are different than your ways, and they're better than your ways. That's what you have to kind of grasp a hold of the reality. That God's got a plan, and his plan is to see you through to the fruition of his plan. And he's going to do it his way with his thoughts. And we rebel. We want to do it whose way? Our way. Sissy bought me Sirius Radio. And she bought it for me because I have such a long commute, and I listen to all my Bible stations, and I listen to all kinds of stuff. And there's a new program coming on Sirius Radio, Joel Osteen Radio. Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But you know what would be a better thing? What would be a better thing is Bible radio. Maybe somebody reading scripture to you might be a good thing. Wouldn't that be good? We cannot seek the ultimate help from man. Every man that you can name, every woman you can name is fallible and makes mistakes. How many know that is true? Your help is in the help and the hands of the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. Take to the lake and throw in your line. Take the fish that you catch. Open up its mouth and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Give it to the tax collector for my tax and yours. I want you to think about that. Peter was a fisherman, wasn't he? He's a fisherman. Now, Peter being a fisherman with all the other fishermen were not used to taking a fishing rod and putting a little worm on it and throwing it into the lake. Right, Pastor Colin? That's not how they fished back then. Did they, Mark? They didn't get their little fishing license on the back of their hat and go out there and put a little worm on and go, whoosh. How they fished then was with a what? With a net. And they threw the net into the lake. Right? And they pulled the net in, and there in the net hopefully were what? Fish. Everybody got that, right? But Jesus says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to take one line and one hook, and I want you to throw it into the lake and catch the fish and bring it in. And inside of its mouth is going to be a 4-drachma coin. Let's talk about this. Now, I can't wait till McDonald's come out with Monopoly because I'm going to win. Oh, I am. How many know the Monopoly game with McDonald's? Man, when they start that stuff, Becca, I get my card. I start peeling my little things off my little cup. I start putting those things on. Oh, boy, go. There's State Avenue. Ooh, I'm getting close. And I always get Park Place, Becca. You probably don't get Park Place, but I get it. Nobody else here gets Park Place, do you? You all do? You get all those? I thought I was the only dude that got that. Well, all I ever needed was Boardwalk. I was so close. All I needed, Becca, was Boardwalk. Man, I had so many Diet Cokes and large fries. That's why I gained 50 pounds, because I was eating all the fries. Boardwalk's in there somewhere. It's in there. Then I read the small print on my little paper. The odds of getting Boardwalk, 1,587,283,611. That's my chances. Becca.
As good as anybody else.
I mean, whoa. I don't think they're going to put the Boardwalk in the Chippewa McDonald's where I go. I don't know what's coming, but I'm going to play. What's the chance of Sonny me getting Boardwalk? But yet, we still do it. Don't we? We still do it. What's the chances? Well, listen to me now. Of Peter taking a fishing line with a hook, throwing it into the lake. At the proper time, the fish with the coin is swimming by. At the time, the fish swing by with a coin the size it wants to chomp on the hook. And then he reels it in, and lo and behold, there's a fish with a coin in it. What's the chances of that happen? I mean, I got a more chance, in my mind, getting Boardwalk. How many's ever been fishing all day and never caught anything? Right, come on, let's be real, right? That's what happens, right? I mean, I would be really, really happy to catch anything I could keep. That doesn't even happen. Does it? So what's the chances of that happening? 100%. Because Jesus said, do it. Amen. And it will be so. Just do it. And it will be so. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above everything you think you can do, by what you do or what you think. Right? In our hopeless situation, what we do is we look at the size of this issue in our life, and there are 48 of them. And we look at the size of these issues in our lives, and there are many. And we look at that size of that thing, and we compare it to ourselves. That's what we do. We look at all these situations in our lives, and we compare it to us. And then we say things like this, I have tried, I have done, I have read, I have went, I have prayed. That's what we talk about, ourselves. We compare it to ourselves. But we got to start comparing that thing in our life to who? To God. We got to start comparing that to him. Compare to him. How big is that giant? Sue? Nothing. It's nothing. Because he can do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we think that we can do, everything that we have ever done. He can do more. I told you a couple weeks ago, you are all eagles. It's not an option if you're an eagle. You're just one that hasn't learned to fly, or you're one that's flying. He does not create non-eagles, does he, Nick? He creates eagles. There's just those who have learned to fly and those who are still in the nest with their mouths open, hoping mama puts some food in it. It's just the truth. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 18:33.
But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the breastplate and the scale armor. The king told the chariot driver, "Wheel around and get me out of this fighting. I've been wounded."
There was a really bad king. His name was King Ahab. Right? Bad guy. And they had to get rid of him. He was bad. Right, Eddie? King Ahab, bad guy. Bad guy. So they had to get rid of this guy. Now, he had on armor and a breastplate. But you kind of get the idea? And they had to get rid of him. He was just a nasty dude. They wanted to get him out of the battle. So look what happened. Someone drew his bow at random. Now, let's just talk about that. Now, Mark, you're kind of like a bow and arrow kind of guy, right? Bow and arrow kind of guy. So you have one of them compound fancy-smancy bows, right? And you've been helping keeping us safe on the roads by getting deer, right? Cool. Thank you for keeping us safe. And so Mark, this is what in tune to. Mark goes out there in the middle of the woods. And he decides, you know what, he wants to hurry along on his day. He's getting kind of bored and cold in the woods. So he takes an arrow, and he does this. Oh, whatever. And it hits a 20-point buck. How about that lady, huh? That's pretty good stuff. I mean, he just takes the bow, right? He's in his tree, says, whatever, I'm getting bored, so whoosh, boom, right in the head, 20-point buck. Is that possible? What it says happened to King Ahab is someone, we don't even know who the someone was. A random archer, right, drew his bow at random and just went, and the arrow hit King Ahab in the only place that it could, between the armor and the breastplate, wounding him. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's not possible. Well, that's your thoughts. Now we're back to your thinking again, aren't we? There's no way that could happen. Well, we're not back to your ways again. Right? All the archer had to do was to what? And God did the rest. How many understand that? It's kind of like a pastor who's going golfing. And he was supposed to be doing some counseling. But he wanted to take off that day and go golfing. And so he chose to go to a secure golf course that no one knew about. All in the countryside. So he goes golfing. Nobody knows him. He gets up to the first hole, hits his tee shot, 600 yards. Never in his life has he ever done that. And the ball goes right in the cup. Hole in one. And the angels say to the Lord, "Lord, why did you let him get a hole in one?" And the Lord says, "Who's he going to tell?" See, you won't remember anything I said, but you'll remember that, won't you? And so we have to understand that when we say to the Lord, it's not possible. It is possible. I can't defeat that giant. Yes, you can. You just have to do what? Something. And that's the hard part. Here's how many of us want to defeat giants. We want to sit back in our chairs. Please, Lord, get rid of the giant. I don't want to do anything, Lord. You get rid of the giant. I don't want to make any effort. I want to make no kind of energy towards anything. You do it. Now, God could do that. But probably he wants you to what? Get up and go do it. With his help. Is that not true? Could the Lord have smoted Goliath without David's help? Sure he could. He could have just had a bolt of lightning come down and smack Goliath on the top of his head. Couldn't he done that? Well, of course he could. But he used a little boy to show his strength. How many understand that? Listen to me, church. You got to grasp it. You got to grasp the truth. If there's a woman on the street who has a hole in her roof, she does not get help from angels in the Carpenters Union. They don't come down flying down with wings and have nail guns. He uses who?
Us.
He uses us. When they need fed at the homeless shelter, they don't send down some kind of chef angels to come down and make up some soup. No, they use Mark and his team. That's what he does. And when giants need smote, guess who he uses? You! You! And you know why he uses you? So that he gets the glory through you. If God smote Goliath, we never would have heard about a 12-year-old's faith, would we? Never! Never! Ever. Let's look at Matthew 26, 74 to 75.
Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken before the rooster crows, "You will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
How many know God's timing is perfect? I mean, perfect. You've heard of this story before, right? Peter denies who? Jesus three times. You heard it 1,000 times. But the significant part is this, that he was going to do it the third time when the rooster crowed. It's not just that he denied him three times. Jesus said, before that rooster crows, you will deny me. And on the third time, what does the rooster do? Crows. Did like the rooster get email from the Lord or something?
No. Probably not.
Was it like an angel, like right by the rooster that who squeezed it so it crowed? What do you think? Get that visual out of your mind anyhow. I mean, he denied him when that rooster crowed. Because God's timing is what? Perfect. It's perfect. I wonder whose timing you've been waiting on. How many know yours? Probably your own's. Does that work? No. It doesn't work. Franklin Graham tells a story that when he was a student pilot, Franklin Graham's a pilot. When Franklin Graham was a student pilot, and it's in his autobiography, he was flying in his plane, and all of a sudden there was a storm that came up, and all of the instrument panels on his plane went dead. Franklin Graham, completely dead. There are no more instruments on it at all. His radio is not working. His instruments are not working. Nothing. He's up in the plane. He doesn't know what he's going to do. The situation is now what? Hopeless. He cannot radio a tower. He can't get permission to come in for a landing. He is up in a plane. Instrument panel gone. No radio. The situation is what? Hopeless. He flies down below the clouds. And he sees off in the distance a small town, and there is an airport. He knows there's an airport there. But he cannot radio the tower to tell him that he's in distress and he needs to come in for a landing. He doesn't know what he's going to do. All of a sudden, the runway lights come on. This is in his autobiography. The runway lights come on. So Franklin goes, oh, praise you, God. He lands the plane. As soon as he lands the plane, the runway lights come off. They go off. The guy in the tower sends somebody to get him and said, hey, why are you landing? You didn't have permission to land. You are violating FAA. You did not give permission. Why did you land? Franklin Graham says, well, you turned the lights on. And the guy in the control panel, well, I didn't turn the lights on for you. I was showing my pastor what happens if a plane comes in distress, how quickly we can turn on the lights. How many know God's timing is perfect? Let's go back to the story. Peter, what I need you to do, Peter, is go to the lake. First of all, Peter has to go to the right lake. If he went to the Dead Sea, how many fish are in there? None. So he has to go to the Sea of Capernaum. So he goes to the lake. He says, I want you to take one line, one hook, and I want you to throw it in. I want you to catch the fish that you catch, pull it up, and inside of it, there's going to be 4 drachma, enough to pay my taxes and yours. What if Peter said, that's the stupidest idea I have ever heard in my life. I don't want to do it your way. I want to get my net like I always have. I want to get in my boat as I always what? Have. I want to fish the way I know how to fish that I've been doing since a small child. I do not want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. And so he would go out into the middle of the lake. He'd throw his net down. He would catch all these fish. Would he have caught the fish that Jesus said he would catch? No. So he had to say, even though I have been doing it this way all of my life, even though this is the way I have always done it, even though this is the way I have honed my skills, I'm going to let that all go. I'm not going to count on my ways or my thoughts. I'm going to trust in your ways and your thoughts. So even though it may be the first time in my life, I'm willing to do it your way, Lord. I'm going to do it exactly like you told me. Even though it seems hopeless to me, because they're out to get us because we don't have the money for the taxes. Even though I don't know how I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it your way. He takes one line and one hook. He throws it into the lake and he catches the very fish that Jesus said that he would catch. Now, how did the coin get in the fish's mouth? Now, we need to wrestle with that for just a second. Don't we? How did the coin get in the fish's mouth? Well, some people will say, well, God just created it in his mouth. Well, if that's what he wanted to do, could not Jesus picked up a stone and said, oh, by the way, here's the 4 drachma? Could he not have done that? Could not Jesus picked up a pebble, prayed over and said, here's the 4 drachma? Could he not have done that? Of course he did. But he didn't. He said, Peter, I want you to do what? That. To show his what? Faithfulness. You know how it probably happened? Some fisherman was probably in a boat, going through his pockets or whatever, and dropped that coin in that water. And that fish just at the right time swam by, picked up that thing. Oh, look at that shiny thing. And stuck it in his mouth. And before he swallowed that thing, he went by Peter's hook, grabbed the hook, pulled him up, and the other coin was stuck in his mouth. Can God do anything he wants to do? What's the chance of a big old fish swimming by when Jonah got thrown in the water at the right time? I'm just saying. How many know God's timing is perfect? How many know God can do exceedingly more with you than you think you can? How many know God's ways are higher than your ways? How many know God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts? How many want to slay some giants? And quit doing it your way. Just quit doing it your way. Because if your way worked, guess what? You would be having giants. If your way worked, you could come up and trade places with me and I'd listen to you. Hopelessness. Big deal. No. No, we are not hopeless. We are conquerors. We are conquerors. We're not hopeless. We are conquerors. How many want to be a conqueror? I want to conquer. I don't be hopeless. There's no hopelessness here. I want to be a conqueror. So you lean not on your understanding, but in all ways what? Trust him. Trust him. Can he do it for you with your help, with you helping him? Probably. Can he conquer giants with your life if you're willing to be obedient and follow his lead? Well, of course. 48 giants in this church. 48 of them. The big theme through a lot of this I've read is hopelessness. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where else I'm going to turn. Thank you, Pastor Tom, that you're going to teach this series because I need to get rid of these giants. I've been losing all hope. Well, today, that changes. We are not hopeless. We are conquerors. That's just the way that it is. Some giants will be easier. Some giants will be more difficult. But how many giants can be defeated if we really try hard? All of them. How many are willing to help somebody else defeat the giants in their lives? Together with Lord, how many giants can we defeat, Mary? All of them. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, and we say to you, we're no longer going to consider ourselves hopeless. Hopeless? What is that? Lord, if a random archer can shoot a random shot into the middle of the air and hit King Ahab right where he needs to be struck, what else can we not do? If Peter can throw one line and one hook into the middle of a lake and catch a fish with a 4 drachma coin, what can't we do? Lord, 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 there is no hopeless situation. There are only hopeless people. There is no situation that is hopeless. There is no giant that is hopeless. It's only hopeless people. And we have got to stop considering ourselves as hopeless. We are not hopeless. We We need to stand up. As we've been saying before, we need to straighten up these bended knees. We need to strengthen these arms. We need to get busy fighting. We need to get busy letting go of our ways and start to adopt the ways of the Lord. For Lord, we can be more than conquerors. We can be more than conquerors. Lord, help us, Lord, to see life as no longer hopeless, but see life with every obstacle that it has with opportunities to show the power of God in and through us. A lot of God's children said,